morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley on this beautiful fall morning. I have a couple announcements before we start our worship service. The first is to invite you to stay after service today in our fellowship hall for our Autumn in the Valley church picnic. I got a sneak peek of it before I came in here. There is plenty of food and baskets and all kinds of things, so I hope you are able to stay for a minute for it. My only other announcement is to remind session that we have our monthly session meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the library. Please plan on attending. At this time, I invite you to join me for our call to worship. Let we who live with faith in God proclaim, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, I will trust forever. Let we who trust in the Lord know that holy love surrounds us. God's protection will follow us throughout our days. When we call out to the Lord, we know that we are heard. God is with us in every trial and temptation. Therefore, we rejoice in the salvation of the Almighty. Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, God is My Refuge. The lyrics will be on the screen. Now for our prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our failure to be what you created us to be. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. By your loving mercy, help us to live in your light and abide in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Join with me now for our words of assurance. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth
on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us now greet one another in faith. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem. One prayer request this morning, and this prayer request is for Maeve Sasso. It turns out she doesn't need to have open heart surgery, so that is good. She will need to have a valve replacement, which will probably be taking place in the next couple weeks, so please keep her in your prayers. One prayer request I wanted to add, at sundown tonight begins Rosh Hashanah, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, which is kind of the Jewish New Year. And I thought this would be a good moment to pray for our Jewish brothers and sisters here in Pittsburgh. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the Tree of Life shooting, and especially to keep them in their prayers during their high holy days. A couple joys to share with you this morning. The first is that we have our picnic after church, which I'm super duper excited about. The second joy I wanted to share, the reason I'm wearing my collar today is because I'm going to be leaving our picnic and heading to an installation service across town. One of my friends is being installed at her two churches this afternoon, so we want to praise God for this new ministry here in Pittsburgh Presbytery. All right, we will lift these up in a minute after we do our hymn of meditation, which is going to be Blessed Are They, number 172.
Thank you.
be seated. Let us pray. O God, we thank you that you have assured us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him, he who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. At this time, we bring before you our concerns and our joys. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we lift up to you Maeve Sasso. We pray that you would be with her as she recovers from her heart problems. Be with her doctors and her nurses as they determine when and how she will receive her valve replacement. We pray that you would give her strength and courage and joy to face the days ahead. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, as we approach Rosh Hashanah, this high holy day in the Jewish calendar, we lift up to you our Jewish brothers and sisters here in Pittsburgh as we approach the one-year anniversary of the Tree of Life synagogue shooting. Lord, we pray that you would be with them as they gather to celebrate these days, and we pray that you would help them be a light and remind us that hate has no home here. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for each and every person who made a donation to our Autumn in the Valley celebration. People who donated food and baskets and time to help us set up and clean up afterwards. Lord, we pray that this time of fellowship would be a joy for all of us. Lord, we also lift up to you Reverend Carissa Howe as she prepares to be installed this afternoon. We pray that you would bless her ministry at Emsworth and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Churches. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering.
Scripture today is taken from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from here there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning is a difficult one, and that's because it presents us with this great moral challenge of both naming and then stepping outside of our privilege. When I say privilege, I mean what I'm talking about is unearned access to resources that are available to some people, but not to others. So basically, if you have access to resources that other people did not, you are privileged. I want to start by saying that I know any conversation about privilege is complicated. And I imagine that some of you are sitting in the pews thinking, "I've worked hard for everything I have. No one's ever given me anything that I didn't earn." I'm also picturing some people thinking, "People who don't have what they need are just lazy. That's their problem, not mine." To help us understand this idea of privilege, I want us to play a little game this morning. So I'm going to read out loud five sentences. And after I read the sentence, I want you to keep track of whether you answer yes or no to the sentence. After I read the sentences, make note of how many you answered yes to and how many you answered no to, and then I'll explain what that means in the end. So here we go. Number one, you can walk around your neighborhood at night alone without concern for your safety. Number two, if you become sick, you can seek medical care immediately and not just hope it goes away. Number three, regardless of the season, you can count on being able to fall asleep in a room with a comfortable temperature. Number four, if a traffic cop pulls you over, or if the IRS audits your tax return, you can be sure that you haven't been singled out because of your race or gender. Number five, as a healthy person, you don't have to think about your daily pain level when planning the day's events and activities. So how did you do? imagine that some of us in this room answered yes to all of the questions, while others of us only answered yes to one or maybe two of the questions. When I played this game, I had four yeses and one no. According to the game, the more yeses that you have, the more privileged you are. So as somebody with four out of five yeses, I am considered quite privileged. So why did I have you play this game? In our scripture passage for this morning, the rich man would have had five yeses, and Lazarus would have had five noes. The rich man is very privileged, and Lazarus has no privilege. In life, the rich man had access to resources he didn't deserve or earn. He dressed in fine linens, and he lived in luxury. On the other hand, Lazarus lacked the resources that he needed to take care of himself. His body was covered in painful sores, and he had to get by on the scraps he savaged from the rich man's table. As our parable continues, the rich man and Lazarus pass away, and when they do, their privilege is reversed. In Hades, the rich man is in agony, and Lazarus is comforted. The rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus as a warning to his five brothers who are still living. "No," Abraham says, "I've already sent Moses and the prophets, and they didn't listen. And the reason they didn't listen is because if you don't try to bridge this gap between the rich and the poor, the privileged and the non-privileged in this life, you surely aren't going to be able to do it in the next." Our parable for this morning leaves us with this question. So, depending on where we fall on the privilege spectrum, how do we bridge this gap between the rich and the poor? For those of us who are rich, and by rich I mean privileged, not necessarily wealthy, the first step is coming to terms with our privilege. Being able to say, "Yes, I have worked hard for everything in my life. But when I reflect on my life, I can see instances where I was given advantages that other people weren't. And that these other people were no less deserving of the advantages I received, but they still didn't get them." For those of us who lack privilege, who are a little bit more like Lazarus, the first step is letting go of the shame we feel over our lack of resources. Our lack of resources is not always or usually because we are lazy or careless or dumb, but because we live in a world where the richest 1% now earn more than the bottom 90% combined, where the average employee needs to work more than a month to earn what her CEO earns in an hour. I suspect, though, that when we took our quiz earlier, most of us would fall more on the privilege side than the lack of privilege side. If, like the rich man, we want to bridge the gap between the privileged and non-privileged in this world, then we need to use our privilege to bless others. One of the challenges of privilege is it's what we call a social construct, meaning it has more to do with how other people treat and see us than how we understand ourselves or even how we treat others. What this means is that our privilege isn't something we can renounce or give away or really even step outside of. So if it's something that is always going to be there, we need to figure out how to use it for good and not evil. One of the benefits of privilege is that it means that people will listen to us when we speak. And we need to use our voices to speak out against injustice. Let me explain what I mean by this. So the sin of the rich man in our parable is not that he treated Lazarus badly. He didn't kick him for begging on his doorstep. He didn't even stop him from begging on his doorstep. It wasn't like he took his money and bribed a politician so the politician would outlaw begging. No, the rich man ignored Lazarus until it was too late. He knew that Lazarus didn't have the means to care for himself, yet he did nothing to help him. Friends, one of the dangerous consequences of privilege is that it makes invisible the suffering happening all around us. The rich man could not see Lazarus, even though he probably saw Lazarus every day. What I mean by this is that he had become so used to seeing Lazarus begging that he no longer saw this as a problem, let alone a problem that he had the resources to solve. Over time, Lazarus's poverty became normal for the rich man, to the point where he no longer saw Lazarus as a human being worthy of his concern. Friends, this morning, Jesus reminds us that if we don't confess our privilege, if we don't repent of it, we perpetuate a system where the powerful continue to exploit the powerless. The good news of this parable is that we get to see a glimpse of this new kingdom of God, where the lowly will be lifted up and the powerful will be removed from their thrones. This parable teaches us that God is actively working to create a new social order, where the privileged or the rich will be in agony, and the poor and disadvantaged will be comforted. But until Jesus returns to complete this work, those of us who are privileged need to use our privilege to do justice now, to be kind now, to walk humbly with God now. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 543, God Be the Love to Search and Keep Me. We're going to sing verses 1 and 5. Able to stay after worship for our picnic in Fellowship Hall, and I will plan to see you there. But before we go, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Thank you.